When I wake up in the morning, CBS gives out a warning about a Giants banged up offensive line. Injury to Brandon Cooks, and before I even look, my opponent grabbed his backup off the waiver wire.
It's alright.
I've got Le'Veon Bell. If the blues there's a flex, I know I'm in a mess. Well, I better do my homework tonight. Reading Jamie's starter sick, Dave's trade chart is legit. Ethan Adams shared a team, it was a dumpster fire.
It's alright.
I've got Le'Veon Bell.
It's alright.
I've got Le'Veon.
It's alright.
Welcome everybody to Fantasy Football Today. Yes, we have a new theme song. I hope you like it. I've listened to it about 20 times today. It rocks.
What happens if he holds out though?
It's all right. You know, as I was
saying, it's not all right. Then you're not saved by the bell.
No, you see, I was explaining this to Dave earlier because he had a similar question. What if he gets hurt? Well, we have We Didn't Start Mike Fiers as our baseball theme song, and everybody starts Mike Fiers now. He's awesome, but the theme song.
Yeah, but that worked out well. What if this works out poorly?
You know what? Just enjoy the ride, everybody.
I enjoy the song. Thank
you. If this jinxes Le'Veon Bell, I'm never forgiving you.
You know what?
I mean, never forgiving you.
This guy.
So if Le'Veon Bell has the best year of his life, are you going to give him $1 million?
I'm not going to give anybody $1 million, but I might give Adam Azer a high five. Okay?
There you go.
How's that?
Perfect. Yeah. You know, Le'Veon's spent, he's ended 3 seasons in a row injured, so I'm not going to blame myself if he gets hurt. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to talk about Dave because today's his birthday. So happy birthday,
happy
Dave.
Happy birthday.
Ooh, all right. We're going to talk about wide receiver tiers. That's the crux of the show. Some notes from around football. And Buffalo Wild Wings. Start your fantasy football leagues right by booking your draft party at B-Dubs. I think this is really an excellent idea. Go to B-Dubs. You're going to get a free draft kit and enjoy a draft feast of boneless wings, 3 sides, and 3 shareables at a special price. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. I just want to tell everybody one thing real quick. Yes, we have a theme song. It's about a minute long. I'm not going to play the entire thing at the start of every show. I'm not going to make you wait a minute before we get into the action. But, you know, at the beginning, while it's new, while it's fresh, we'll play the extended version for a little bit. I think we should start with wide receiver tiers, and then we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back to it later. You guys doing great? How are you? Everyone's great? We're good?
We could not be any better.
Okay, good. Same here. I had a great weekend. Thanks for asking. So, Dave, would you like to unveil, birthday boy, your elite tier of wide receivers?
It's a pretty deep tier. Goes beyond just a handful of names. It's 6 names. I guess that's good. And you'll find all of them anywhere between round 1 and maybe, if you're lucky, early round 2. It depends on the size of your league. But I've got Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, AJ Green, and Jordy Nelson all in the elite tier. I think they all have a chance to finish as the number one receiver. Jordy, maybe not quite as good of a chance as the other guys, but I think it's a great group. They're all number one rock solid wideouts that you'll start on your team. They all have a shot at 1,500 yards. They all have a shot at double-digit touchdowns.
All right. Again, that's Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, A.J. Green, and Jordy Nelson. A.J. Green's 16-game pace last year. And he played 10 games, but if you really base it on one game, because he had only one target in the game he got hurt in, A.J. Green's if you base it on 9 games, 117 catches, over 1,700 yards and 7 touchdowns on 176 targets. That was A.J. Green's 16-game pace. 117 catches and 1,700 yards. Wow, he would have been the number one wide receiver in fantasy.
Yeah, he was remarkable. And not just him, but Andy Dalton as well. They were spectacular together.
Okay, so any comments, critiques? These top 6 look good, right?
There's no debate, I don't think.
There might be a debate in the order of the top 6. I guess my first question is, do either of you guys think that I have the right top 6? Forget about the order. Do I have the right 6 receivers here? And if you're wrong, who cares what you think anyway, because you know I'm right. But the order is going to be debated because I know you guys aren't quite as high on Mike Evans as I am, especially when it comes to AJ Green. Jamie, I know you love AJ Green this year.
Yeah, I think Green's set up for a better season than Mike Evans, but it's really splitting hairs. They're both going to be special talents. You know, they both got some level of competition with Tyler Eifert coming back, John Ross being added to the Bengals, Joe Mixon being an upgrade in their backfield, and the Bucs getting O.J. Howard and DeSean Jackson and still having Cameron Brate there. So that's, you know, really just looking at it as who has the higher ceiling. I think A.J. Green, as we saw last year, has the chance for a higher ceiling than Mike Evans if both would have stayed healthy.
Cool. Let's go to the near elite. Round two. Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Thomas. Just three here. Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Thomas. So, Dave, what separates those six from Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton, and Michael Thomas?
I think there's a little less to love about these three. I don't want to set them on a projection course of 1,510. They could get there, but it'll take staying healthy. In the case of T.Y. Hilton, it's going to take another year with, like, mega targets. And I don't think they can get there. I think they'll fall short of 1,500 yards. I think 1,300 is probably an easier goal for the three of these guys. And I think 8 to 9 touchdowns is right where these three kind of lay. But I'm still comfortable with these three being number one fantasy receivers. I think they're good enough to have as your top shelf wideout. So if you take a running back toward the end of round one, you can get one of these guys coming back in round two. I assume all nine of the receivers we've talked about will be long gone by the time the 20th overall pick comes in your league.
You said mega targets for Hilton. I kind of think that's what separates the first tier from the second tier, is all of these guys we count on as 150 targets a season guys in those first six. I think
Dez could get there.
I think Hilton's, in my opinion, more likely to do it this year than Dez, just because his team's going
to
throw the ball 150
more times.
If you had to pick one of
the three, times. You'd pick T.Y. over Dez?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how often T.Y. has had 150 targets in the season. He had it last year.
Yeah, I think that was probably the only one.
But what about the touchdown difference between those two? Because Dez Bryant is almost a guarantee for double-digit touchdowns, and T.Y. Hilton is kind of like Julio Jones. Has he ever had more than 7? Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. But
Seven twice,
yeah. Dez Bryant, 3 years in a row, he was 12, 13, and 16. Last year, he was 8 touchdowns in 13 games, and one of those games was week 17 that he had one target in that game, but they didn't need to play that game. Dez Bryant, by the way, averaged just about 13 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues, which is amazing, in every game that was not against the Giants, and not including week 17. So he was basically himself when he was healthy.
He's got a brutal schedule this year. That's the one.
I know. I wanted to bring that up. Let's look
drawback
at those,
with him.
Those first four games. Giants.
It's the whole season.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's going to face a lot of just elite-level cornerbacks or just good defenses.
It's really true. Even in Week 16, he's got Seattle at home.
And he has the same number of 150 target seasons as T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I mean, the thing you're counting on with Dez is what you alluded to, Adam. It's the touchdowns. Because when he's right, that's what his best attribute is. His best asset to fantasy owners is the ability to find the end zone. So, like, if you were just to take these guys and based on what their skill set is when they're playing at their best, T.Y. should beat him in I don't know about catches, but certainly in yards. But mm-hmm. T.Y. will never touch him in terms of touchdowns based on the offense that they play.
And I want to go to the Michael Thomas expert, because last year Heath was all over Michael Thomas. Are you worried about regression from him this year? Do you think he could possibly fall back to earth like Allen Robinson did, sort of?
No, I might have been a little worried about regression if Brandon Cooks had stayed. I don't know that I expect the bump in targets that some people seem to think he will get because of Cooks leaving. Because New Orleans has never really been a team that's thrown the ball a ton
it's
of times
true.
To one
right.
guy. They spread the ball around. But I do think that Cooks leaving safeguards that regression risk a little bit.
But you could see like 130, 135 targets for Thomas.
I think 100, yeah, 130.
He was at 122 last year.
There's right. obviously one other factor to point out with Hilton, and that's Andrew Luck, who is going to begin the season on the pup list, or the training camp, rather, on the pup list.
I thought we were breaking news there.
Yeah, not the season, not yet. He's got till September 2nd, and the Colts are saying he's not going to play at all in the preseason, but he should
Colts
be ready for week one.
Colts didn't say that.
It was the GM who said that.
No, it was a beat reporter said it.
I thought it was a GM who said it.
said his throwing progression starter that he's going to start on the pup list.
Okay, so then there's obviously speculation that he'll sit out. It did not come from the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's very realistic he's not going to play, but that didn't come from the team.
He can still come off the pup list and still not play in the preseason.
Yeah, there's a lot of
that's really what matters. Yep. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks worth of practice, he should be okay.
So we're 9 receivers into this year. We have Brown, Julio, Beckham, Evans, Green, and Jordy Nelson in the elite tier. The near elite tier is Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton, and Michael Thomas. And to make this really about tiers and not necessarily just about these players, let me ask you this. Let's say you have a late pick in the first round, and you're interested or at least open to the idea of taking 2 wide receivers. Do you consider all 9 of these guys acceptable to be, you know, your 2 wide receivers, or Dave, you have Dez, Hilton, and Thomas in your near elite tier. Is it too risky to take 2 of them? You know, if you miss out entirely on the top 6, do you lose the ability to go wide receiver, if we're talking taking 2 of the near elite instead of the elite?
There's no chance I would do it in a standard league, but in PPR, especially full point PPR, I think I'd still swing at it.
All right.
And I don't think there's going to be too many times that happens, because Jordy, in almost all cases, is falling to the end of the first round or second round.
Yeah.
But I think he's good enough for the first round. I really do.
He'll be there with the, like, there's really, as far as ADP goes, there's a tier of the top 5, and then Jordy's down there with those other guys. Dave's tiers are saying that Jordy's the clear value.
Right. But it depends, like, what ADP you're looking at, because, like, Fantasy Pros has Michael Thomas at 6, and that's, I would assume, factor
ahead of Jordy.
I would assume it's factoring in dynasty leagues.
Well, I think I think Jordy is just not really viewed as being in the same tier as the other 5.
It's crazy.
No, which is funny, because when he and Aaron Rodgers are healthy together,
right,
that combination has proved to be lethal.
It's got to be the age thing.
Of course it's the age thing. I mean, it's people. I think part of it is buying into Jordy's slow start last year and not necessarily recognizing his finish, because you may have been out of your fantasy league by that time, you know, if you lose. And the age thing as well, because, like, the one thing that I would disagree with Dave's point about, that Jordy does not have a chance to finish number one. I mean, he's been number one 3 of the last 6 years, or he's been top 2 3 of the last 6 years. When he and Aaron Rodgers have both played 16 games over the last 6 years, they've been the top 2 combination.
All right, guys, let's go to the excellent tier. So we're going to focus on this tier a bit, and then we'll come back to wide receivers a little bit later. But we'll read some emails in the middle of the show. We'll go through the news and notes. Terrell Pryor's in this tier. There was actually a pretty interesting quote from his wide receivers coach saying he'd be shocked if
wide receivers coach.
What's that?
Former wide receivers
coach. Oh, sorry. Al Saunders. Oh, I thought it was his current wide receivers coach.
It's his current.
Yeah, current.
Oh, he worked with the
Washington.
Yep.
Okay, Washington's wide receiver coach,
Al just follows Terrell wherever he goes.
Yes.
Oakland, and now Cleveland, and now Washington.
He'd be shocked if Terrell Pryor doesn't make the Pro Bowl. And you know what, Dave? I bet he'd go to the Pro Bowl with him.
Right? He might.
Yeah.
And that would be great.
I guess Al doesn't think they're going to be a very successful team, and there will be a lot of receivers that choose not to go. And by that point, Terrell should probably get invited.
Yes. Right. One way or the other, Terrell Pryor is going to the Pro Bowl.
Well, we've seen his pure talent. This is a guy with a lot of potential. So let's get to Dave's third tier, the round 3 players. Some of them are going to go late in round 2. DeAndre Hopkins, Doug Baldwin, Terrell Pryor, Devontae Adams. Hopkins, Baldwin, Pryor, Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, and Sammy Watkins. This is based on standard scorings. So you don't see Jarvis Landry in here, but Hopkins, Baldwin, Pryor, Adams, Cooper, Demaryius Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, and Sammy Watkins, all in this tier. Now, I guess just a general question about, you know, the concept of a tier. Can you realistically see these 8 players, Dave, finishing in any order within this tier?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
The last name in this tier might have the most upside, and that's Sammy Watkins. He also has the most downside, because if he gets hurt week 1, knowing his injury history, he could be a blemish on your roster for a while. But if Sammy had an impeccable track record, A, he'd have much better stats, and B, he'd probably be 2 tiers up, much less 1 tier up, or toward the bottom of this third tier. These are all guys I'm comfortable taking in round 3. I think they all have 1,200-yard potential. The touchdowns, somewhere between 7 and 9, I'd say, so real close to the touchdowns that you'd project for the near elite tier. And I think it's pretty deep. And I think it's pretty good. I think there's a lot of receivers that fantasy owners should feel good about landing as definitely as a number two, definitely as a third round pick. And maybe in non-PPR formats, if you go non-receiver with your first two picks, you end up with one, maybe if you're lucky, two of these guys. I think that's a good start to your fantasy team. I don't think these guys, the way that these guys might disappoint could be in terms of inconsistency and in terms of injury. Mm-hmm. I think those are the two biggest issues that you're looking at with all these guys.
So I'll read them again. Hopkins, Baldwin, Pryor, Adams, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas, Alshon, and Sammy Watkins. Jamie, who are you most excited about in this third tier? Who are you least excited about? Hopkins, Baldwin, Pryor, Adams, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, Sammy Watkins.
Most excited about Cooper. Least excited about Pryor.
Over Adams. I thought you'd say Devontae Adams.
Adams makes me the most nervous. Mm-hmm. But in terms of where I have them ranked, I have Pryor ranked the lowest.
I see.
Heath, most excited, least excited?
I think that Jamie just gave both of my answers. So Cooper and Baldwin, both for me. I'm very excited about Pryor and Adams. I like Pryor a lot. I liked him a lot more before the hype train got going, and his ADP just keeps climbing. I don't want to take him in the third round. I like him a lot in the fourth round. And I kind of feel like Alshon and Sammy, who both have number one upside, should be in a tier with Keenan Allen.
In a different tier?
In the wherever those two are, Allen should be in the same place.
Allen's in the fourth tier.
So is it that Keenan Allen should be in this third tier, or that Alshon Jeffrey and Sammy Watkins should be in the fourth tier?
I think you could make an argument for either one, but they're all three injury-prone wide receivers that have been elite on a per-game basis.
Mm-hmm. Great,
Allen
great
has the best quarterback.
Great reports on Keenan Allen right now, saying he looks really good.
Yeah, his outlook certainly has improved over the last 2 weeks.
It helps Mike Williams is hurt.
Yeah, that's the point.
Allen Robinson is also in tier four. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but I think the guy that I'm least excited about here, which is crazy, I loved him last year, is DeAndre Hopkins. You want to talk about the guy who makes me the most nervous. DeAndre Hopkins was the number 38 wide receiver last year. Number 38! And he played every game, and they didn't really improve at quarterback all that much.
Oh, I think they did.
I mean,
there's no
sure
way
they did. Just by subtraction, they improved. Of course.
Yeah, but they're not good there.
Nobody's as bad as Brock Osweiler was last year.
More than 25% of the targets that Osweiler threw in Hopkins' direction were uncatchable. he'd have to be like that. What is it? Plastic Man? What was the name of that superhero? That cartoon? Who, like, he could stretch. Yeah,
Inspector Gadget.
There's probably a knockoff version called Plastic Man. Whoever it was, that's what he would have had to have been to do well with Osweiler. Mm. And I like Watson. I think Watson's going to end up being the guy in Houston, and I think he'll connect with Hopkins. I'm actually a little excited.
Plastic Man is on the new Rebirth team with Phantom Girl and Mr. Terrific.
Well, there's maybe you're thinking of Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four.
I'll look it up and I'll let you know who I was talking about. It's Plastic Man.
Did we talk about how Lego Batman was actually surprisingly good?
My kids love it. What do you mean surprisingly good?
Yeah, I was watching on a plane.
It was good. You shouldn't have been surprised. Did you see the Lego movie?
I've enjoyed all the Lego superhero movies.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought these were just for kids. I had no choice but to watch it on the plane. And I was like, I was laughing out loud. It's very funny.
Yeah, excellent.
All right, good for...
This is what you watched on your way back or to your honeymoon?
From my honeymoon, yeah. So I had two options.
Who needs to talk with their new wife on a plane ride when you've got Lego Batman?
This seems to happen a lot in your relationship, though.
Why? What do you mean?
A lack of conversation and a lot of television / movie watching.
Can I tell you what she's watching right now as we speak? And I am so jealous. I was watching it with her before the show started. I think you guys will be familiar with the movie.
Divorce Court?
Wow.
Happy birthday, Dave. Just One of the Guys.
Oh, that movie's awesome.
It's the best. I love that movie.
What's your favorite part? It's the ending, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the ending.
Yeah, I know it is.
Where do you get off having those? Yeah, I love that. Good movie. So vote for us if you like Just One of the Guys. Vote for us at podcastawards.com. Actually, it's time to nominate us. You have until the end of the month. Please, please nominate us. Please tell your friends. Get the word out and just nominate Fantasy Football Today. It's quick. It's free. We could use your help, and then hopefully there'll be a voting process at some point, but Fantasy Football Today, please make it happen at Podcast Awards, plural, podcastawards.com. And if you wouldn't mind, now would be a great time to go to iTunes, give us a nice review, leave us a comment, give us a 5-star review. Also would be very helpful. We thank you because on this show, we sing. And who else sings to you as much as we do? Heath, are you going to join me in singing Happy Birthday to Dave?
You're not the one that's sitting next to Dave and can get punched.
I should do this by myself?
Like it's awfully brave to suggest that we do this when you're talking to us through a computer.
All right, well.
Angry birthday boy. Here you go.
Here we go, Dave. Here we go.
Wait, do you have the guitar?
No, I'm just going to sing Happy Birthday.
I want the guitar. If you're going to do this, I want the guitar.
I don't know how to play it on the guitar. If I had known, I would have rehearsed.
No, then I don't want this.
It's not your choice.
It's not your choice. It's your birthday, Dave. What choice do you have?
I can't even take off my headphones and not listen.
You can.
No, I can't because he's coming through Heath's computer.
Well, that's right.
I'd have to leave the room.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to Dave. Pizza is his fave. He's not drafting Diggs, but Crowell is okay.
Yay!
All right, that was good. That was
very nice.
All right. I did want to get people, you know, for Jamie's 40th birthday last year, we had all of our followers and listeners on Twitter tweet us what they loved about Jamie. It ended up being a very nice, very touching segment. And Dave wanted no part of it, so I only have two. Dave doesn't like his birthday; he gets very shy. I only have two tweets.
Never mind. Go ahead.
What people love about Dave from Pete Prisco, our CBS Sports NFL writer, how he lies about eating calzones and says he had grilled chicken wraps.
Jeez.
I got a story for another time, not on this podcast.
From one of our most dedicated listeners, Pete Farmer. If he's not a great guy, he's the nicest guy in the business. He cares about everyone. He's the nicest guy in the business. He cares about everyone. I read that a little wrong. And that's true. He does care about everyone. It's a very nice
Thanks,
guy.
Pete and Pete.
There you go. Pete and Pete. Happy birthday, Dave. Okay. We love you. And Buffalo Wild Wings understands that being a fantasy football league manager is a tough job. You want to make a good first impression with your league. It starts with a draft. Why don't you do your draft at Buffalo Wild Wings? You'll get a free draft kit and enjoy a special draft feast of boneless wings, 3 sides, and 3 shareables for a special price to feed your league. Come in and get to drafting up some league manager love at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. Who on the show is the best league manager? Who's the best commish out of the four of us?
I'm going to say Heath by default.
I was going to say you, but you make so many questionable calls.
You over-commish.
I'm going to say Heath, too. Heath is very good commissioner.
Adam over-commishes. Jamie under-commishes. I don't commish.
No, I commish fine. I just do a terrible job collecting money.
Yeah, right. It's true. Very good commissioner, but horrible banker. All right, guys, let's read some emails. Fantasy football.
Yeah, but see, that works out for usually 11 of 12 people.
That's true. You never have to pay in Jamie's league. The email is from Dozier from Boston, Massachusetts. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast or something like that in the subject line. As a wide receiver four, who do you like more, Pierre Garçon or John Brown?
Already good reviews of John Brown out of Cardinals camp. They opened over the weekend.
Brown standard, Garçon PPR.
Yeah. I've got Garçon ahead of him in both right now, but I'm starting to get that feeling about Brown again.
Yeah.
If he's back to normal and he's speeding along, it's good.
Heath?
I got Brown for standard, Garçon in PPR, but it's much closer in PPR than it is in standard.
Brian in Buffalo, New York, a 17-year drought and counting. Come on now. He says, hey, Lucy, Melody, Ted, and Mr. Ernst. Did I say that right? I think this is Hey Dude, because he says, hope things are good down there on the Dude Ranch. This is not a question, but an email that I find absolutely amazing. I hope it's true. Tell Heath I was a witness to him winning the Harry Chess Contest on the cruise last year, and because of that, I did not rebook. I have never seen children run as fast.
It was not an appropriate arena for children to be in. I don't have any regrets over my actions. It was a very nice dance that I did.
Well, they lost the customer because of it, so I think that's the end of the Harry Chess contest.
I think they'd make that trade to see it again.
Eric in Maryland, dear Boris, Bjorn, and Yvonne.
Tennis players.
Tennis. While you guys host by far my favorite fantasy football podcast, I occasionally cheat on you guys and listen to other podcasts. One thing I have noticed is that some other podcasts are very low on Isaiah Crowell. It makes me worry about the glowing praises for him that I hear on your podcast. In addition, it worries me that you all seem to mostly agree on this. Furthermore, it makes me worry that maybe you guys agree on things too much. Maybe when you hang out too much, you start to think alike. Perhaps you guys should argue and disagree more like the annoying talking heads on sports TV. I'm being tongue-in-cheek here, but just a thought. Thanks, and you guys are still and always will be my favorites.
Okay, so what are the knocks against Isaiah Crowell?
He's a Brown.
That's a pretty big knock, I gotta admit.
His passing game stinks.
As far as like quarterback
the,
and all
the
that?
The surrounding talent of his skill players.
Sure.
Yeah. That,
those are both very fair and true last year.
He's never run for 1,000 yards.
Yep.
The chances of the Browns leading in most games is slim.
Right. I still really like him where he's being drafted.
I think of the fundamentals of football. And when you've got a good offensive line, you can control things a little bit better. And you see how he did when Betonio was healthy last year. Even that one guy made a difference for him. And now they've got him back. They've added another center. They've added another guard, and he's a beast. This is a very good offensive line. And that line might actually help things for the passing game.
There's also talk about Duke Johnson playing in the slot.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
He got more targets than Duke Johnson did in the second half last year.
Which is ridiculous. Ridiculous when you think about it.
He was pretty good on him. Like, the other thing with him is he had 198 carries last year. They really want to run the ball more. I don't think he could get to the 260, 270 range. But if you give him 30 or 40 more carries, that could make a big difference.
And it's not like the Browns have never given us a good fantasy football player. I mean, Josh Gordon was excellent, and Trent Richardson was a top 10 running back in his rookie season. It wasn't such a great football player.
Isaiah Crowell was a good fantasy player last year. Like, we only had him ranked two spots ahead of where he finished.
Right, and we even had Jordan Cameron show us some stuff at tight end. So it's just the touchdowns that really concern me, and the fact, and I know I mentioned this last week, but weeks 5 through 12, 8 games in that stretch, he had fewer than 30 rushing yards in 6 of them. That is terrifying to me. And it's just a matter of the team stinking, you know? He didn't get a lot of carries in those games.
I think you just have to have realistic expectations. I don't think any of us here, as much as we like him, are expecting him to be a top 5 guy. Maybe top 10 if, you know, some injuries happen to the position along the way and he stays healthy. But if you treat him as where he's being drafted, which is in the 12 to 17 range at the position, at least right now, that may change as we get closer to the start of the season and drafts happen. And the understanding of you take him hopefully in the 4th round, most likely going to end up drafting him in the 3rd round. But the expectation of he's a number 2 guy that has a chance for high volume, good offensive line, good situation for the most part that you asked for, just not the week-to-week consistency of a David Johnson or saved by Le'Veon Bell or Ezekiel Elliott.
So to make this conversation a little bit less about Crowell, because we have talked about him a lot and we will talk about him more, do you guys feel like, because I know Scott White in our baseball podcast has talked about this, how, you know, new analysts will come in, Scott's been here for a long time, and they'll have a lot of differences of opinion, and after working together for a year or two or whatever, they end up, you know, thinking more along the same lines. Heath, I guess you're, you know, the relative newcomer. Have you experienced that, just working together, that you sort of start thinking a little bit more like Dave and Jamie?
I think that we would have to be rather obtuse to not have our rankings change as we hear arguments for players. Because if I didn't ever listen to anything Dave and Jamie said when they were telling me I was wrong about something, that would be kind of stupid. Right. So yeah, there's definitely times when we argue over a player and they make a point, and I'm like, I'm going to look at that again, and I move somebody. Yeah. I would assume it happens the other way around. Maybe not. But
sure it does.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of the nature of the beast. I don't know, though, especially this early in the summer, that there's really that much consensus yet. It may get closer by the end of August.
Mm-hmm. Let me also say this. We are all paid to give our opinions. We're not paid to take somebody else's opinion and then slap our name on it and say, yeah, that's right. So we're allowed to change our opinions as time moves on and as we see things, just as Heath said. And if it changes so that we agree unanimously, what it really should tell you, the listener, is that we all believe strongly in a certain player. And if you like our analysis and you think we're good at what we do, then follow it, because you've got three endorsements on one podcast.
There you go. All right, one more email here, and it's from, oh man, I don't have the name. Anybody want to make up a name in a city?
Felix.
From John in a city chosen by Heath?
Yes, it is from John in a city. Actually, that happens to be true.
It's funny how that works out.
I forgot to put that in.
Kansas City.
Oh, of course. John in Kansas City. Did you even have to say a city chosen by Heath? You could have just said Kansas City. Dear Roy G. Biv and Sometimes Black.
Nope, that's not the email. John sent us a different one later.
Oh, later. Okay. I knew I had a John. All right, so this is from Felix.
We were saved by Le'Veon Bell.
I can't believe y'all buried the lead so much on this. What happened at the rehearsal dinner? Did Jamie give his speech?
No, I was not invited to the rehearsal dinner. I obeyed Adam's wishes on all fronts in relation to his wedding. But this means that you now owe me something for welching on our bet from last year. So now I get to think of something else you have to do.
This is a legitimate welch.
Yep.
Is it? No, because Jamie created a term that I never agreed to in the first place.
That's not true.
There's no way I said you can speak at my rehearsal dinner. Did I?
You didn't start saying no until around the time invitations came out.
I would guess that you were worked up over an argument and had pretty much decided there was no way you could lose, and so you just agreed to whatever the terms were, because that kind of sounds like you.
The bet that he lost was Philip Rivers versus Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I barely lost it. Very close. I had Bortles, right? Yeah.
You had Bortles, yes. Yeah. So I will come up with another thing for you to do.
But who played better, Rivers or Bortles, right?
That's true. That's a good point on your part that still fails.
So let's go through the notes. So Terrell Pryor's wide receiver coach said he'd be shocked if he didn't make the Pro Bowl. Mike Williams says he's not going to miss the season. In fact, the reports are getting a little bit more positive on Mike Williams. I'm not going to ask you for a reaction now. We have time to react to that. Duke Johnson could be used as a slot wide receiver.
Can I stop you for a second? I would like our listeners to play a new game while they're listening at home or wherever they're listening to.
Oh, boy.
Throughout the course of the show, they should keep like a little notepad next to them, or maybe text themselves something. Just keep mental notes. What do you think Adam's going to tweet out to tease the show each time we record a show? Because like, I wonder if Adam has the thought in his head already, like, Pryor's wide receiver coach likes Terrell Pryor this year.
No, I never. I'm not
for this show.
Huh?
I'm not good. I'm not good at tweeting. I'm probably going to write wide receiver tears and then a couple other things.
No, I want our listeners to
think of what Adam is going to send out as the tweet.
Definitely a new theme
for the show.
Good call. So Duke Johnson slot receiver. Is there big impact here?
Yeah, less carries is not good for running back.
Yeah, no, it's not. Okay.
Could he catch 60 passes?
That's kind of what he was last year.
Yeah. It could salvage his value in PPR, because it kind of looked like Isaiah Crowell was pushing him out.
I mean, this is just a knock on his fantasy value, in my opinion, or at least doesn't make him better.
It's also a knock on the receivers in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
So let's play Do You Care? I give you a news item, you tell me if you care. Sammy Watkins should be close to 100% healthy when training camp starts, according to the Buffalo News. Do you care?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that one we care about. Tennessee offensive guard Sebastian Totola.
Nope.
No, we don't care. He has minor gunshot wounds, but he's a backup and he's okay.
Well, I hope he's okay.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
I do care a lot.
Yes, I clarified. We care about that, but not fantasy relevant. Teddy Bridgewater expected open training camp on the PUP list.
Oh.
Palmer. Okay. Carson Palmer has more zip on his passes.
Nope.
Here's something that bothered me. Well, first off, he like split one of David Johnson's fingers open, right? And he had to get stitches because of it. But they said like two episodes you had in your notes that they thought he wore his arm out in training camp. And by August, his arm was just dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read something that said they were going to have him play more in the preseason this year.
I don't know that they're that related. He's not going to throw that many more passes. At one point last year, he stopped throwing on Wednesdays, And he did have a dead arm at the beginning of the season, and he finished pretty strong, Carson Palmer. His last six games, he averaged just under 22 fantasy points per game. That's very solid for someone who's not really being drafted, or if he is, it's late. I mean, I think this is interesting. I'm surprised you said no, Jamie, that this doesn't matter to you, that Carson Palmer has a little more arm strength here.
There's been so many different reports on Carson Palmer, or so many reports on Carson Palmer. I mean, you know what he is at this point already.
What is he?
He's a backup fantasy quarterback with a chance to be a top 12 guy, as we saw 2 years ago.
If you're drafting this weekend, next weekend, and you get Andrew Luck and you're nervous about him being ready to go for the start of the season, you can just wait till the second to last pick in your draft and take Carson Palmer. He's going to be there, and he's an excellent guy to begin the year with as your quarterback.
He was the number 5 quarterback in fantasy 2 years ago. So there's that. Week one is
Detroit. It's a great schedule to start the year. At Detroit, at Indy, should be 2 high-scoring games. Dallas at home should be fairly high-scoring. San Francisco at home. At Philly, they might have to play from behind in that one, believe it or not. And then Tampa Bay, week 6. And then against the Rams in London in week 7.
Okay.
His schedule's great until week 10.
2 more notes here. Latavius Murray is on the active PUP list. He's not ready for practice yet. Do you care?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yep, that's bad.
But it's not a shock, right?
Nope. It's not a shock. If you're a Dalvin Cook fan, then you want to keep him. You're hoping that he stays on that list for a long time.
And a writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, expects Tyler Eifert to be ready for training camp. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and Geo.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't see the Geo one, but I saw the Tyler Eifert one.
I read the Geo part as well.
Apparently, Eifert was diving on grocery store carts as part of a commercial shoot recently. And
that seems dangerous.
If you're doing that, you're probably in good enough shape to practice.
Have we ever seen the best of Tyler Eifert? We've seen him as like a touchdown machine that didn't give you much else. Could he actually be a more well-rounded tight end that gets a lot of huge breakout tight end?
Sure.
Yeah, but you're drafting him for the touchdowns.
Okay. Back to the wide receiver tiers. Okay, so we've gone through elite, near elite, and excellent. We know about the top 9. It's that top 8 we've talked about forever, plus Michael Thomas. That'll give you your first 2 tiers. The third tier was the excellent tier, the round 3 guys, DeAndre Hopkins, Doug Baldwin, Terrell Pryor, Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, and Sammy Watkins. So moving on to the round 4 guys, the very good tier, interesting tier here. Brandon Cooks, Michael Crabtree, Allen Robinson, and Keenan Allen. Brandon Cooks, Michael Crabtree, Allen Robinson, and Keenan Allen. Wow. Where do we begin here, Dave?
Why don't we start at the top with Brandon Cooks? And I think there's a lot of people listening who maybe took the offseason off from our podcast, and they're just now getting around to subscribing to us again. Or maybe you just found us for the first time and you're thinking, what? Brandon Cooks, this guy had 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns with the Saints the past 2 years. How is he going to go backward with the Patriots? And it's because there are so many mouths to feed in New England that I don't think he's going to get nearly as many targets as he had in New Orleans. I think it's a step back for Cooks. I think you're looking at him at under 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns, maybe. I think that's what this group is. I'm not in love with any one receiver in this group. And yet it's still so much better than the receivers that we'll get to later on. But their price tag is part of the reason why I don't love them. Cooks, Crabtree, Robinson, Keenan Allen, round 4. That's when they're going to go. I don't think I want to pay that for these guys.
Yeah, I'm going to read the names a lot because, you know, we look at the lists and it's easy for us to talk about these guys. You're listening, you're driving, you're working out, whatever you're doing, you might miss it. So it helps to read the names a lot. Again, the round 4 wide receivers are Cooks, Crabtree, Robinson, and Keenan Allen. And Heath, is Keenan Allen your favorite in this group?
He is in PPR for sure. In standard, Robinson's right there with him. I would probably put Robinson and Allen in the tier above. But I might, like, Dave is super cautious on Brandon Cooks according to ADP by putting him in the fourth tier.
Yeah.
I think I would probably drop him another tier.
I would too, but his average draft position's the end of round
right.
two, beginning of round three.
Right. Yeah. They're taking him right where they took him last year. I'm telling you, people think that the move to New England is going to be good for him.
I don't think they think it's going to be good for him. I think it's going to be the same for him.
Well, sure. But Dave, are you too high, I guess, is the question on Brandon Cooks. If you have him, what, like, eight? What is this, 15th? 16th?
I still like him better than the receivers behind him.
Yeah, I would take every single one of those guys you named ahead of him.
Crabtree, Robinson, and Keenan Allen.
And I would add Golden Tate guys. To that mix.
You got who?
Golden Tate.
Oh, I'd take Tate ahead of him. I'd take Jarvis Landry ahead of him. I would take Jameson Crowder ahead of him. I would take, maybe that's a cutoff. He's outside of my top 24.
And that's Dave's next tier. Sorry, I interrupted you there. That's Dave's next tier, which is Landry, Tate, and Crowder.
Martavis Bryant. I would take Martavis Bryant ahead of him too.
At Cooks. So, Dave, why is DeAndre Hopkins in the third tier and Allen Robinson's in the fourth tier?
Because I think the Jaguars aren't going to throw as much as they did last year. I think the Texans might throw more than they did last year.
Okay. Everybody cool with that?
I've got them a lot closer.
But. I agree with it on Robinson. I do not think that the Jaguars are going to throw as much, which unfortunately I think hurts his upside. But I still think he's in this is the right area for him. You know, Heath, you may have him, a couple spots higher.
Yeah.
It's not like, I think anything in the mid to late round three, early round four range for Allen Robinson is fine. But I don't see the Texans throwing the ball more. I think they'll kind of be in the same range because if you look at Bill O'Brien's track record, it's still to run the ball a lot. But I still think Hopkins will be better on a per-target basis. I think the quarterback play will be better. I think Hopkins has a chance to bounce back nowhere near where he was 2 years ago, but certainly a hell of a lot better than he was last year.
Okay, so the fifth tier, the number two with upside, the round five guys. And maybe all three of these guys are better in PPR. Jarvis Landry, Golden Tate, and Jameson Crowder. Jarvis Landry, Golden Tate, and Jameson Crowder. Man, Tate could be an absolute monster at times. And, yeah, that's all I wanted to say about that. I don't really have a smooth transition.
There was a report out of Detroit last year that they, you know, trying to force the ball to Marvin Jones and how that all unfolded from training camp to preseason to the beginning of the year. And it was, I think, around week six is when Golden Tate started to get going. And his numbers from week six on are just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And so that's the hope. You know, there was this nonsense last year about redoing the offense and, you know, Jim Bob Cooter kind of throwing out the playbook from when he took over and how things unfolded. He's their best receiver. He's probably their best offensive player. I mean, you know, you could talk about the upside of Amir Abdullah maybe and Eric Ebron having a potential breakout season. And
are you including Stafford?
Kenny Galladay. The skill position guys. I mean, Obviously Stafford is who he is. But if you just look at what Golden Tate brings to the table for them, he should perform at the level that what we saw from that week six point on, if they're smart.
Yeah, I think he's a cinch for over 1,000 yards. You got to be worried about the touchdowns.
With all these guys, right?
What's that?
With all of them.
I think Crowder is going to score the most of anyone.
I mean, he's certainly been my guy all offseason. I'm excited for him and all the accolades that are coming out. You know, Heath, I was surprised you were talking about the bandwagon for prior because it's almost the same for Crowder.
Yeah.
That it's kind of the way I view it, it's unfortunate because he's somebody that I was targeting heavily and now his average draft position continues to rise as more people start to realize it. So I think Crowder's got the chance maybe to, I don't have a rank this way. I may change it, but Crowder may be the best of this trio. And like I said before, anybody wants to take Brandon Cooks at the end of round two, beginning of round three, go ahead. I'll wait two, three more rounds and get Jameson Crowder, who right now is going as the, it's criminally
32nd?
Insane.
32nd receiver off the board?
32nd receiver off the board. Wow. Behind guys like Brandon Marshall, Larry Fitzgerald, Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Corey Davis. I mean, I'll take Crowder all day over those guys.
I guess I just wonder, do you have Terrell Pryor ranked ahead of Crowder, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think if you look at it just based on the two, Pryor's upside is just immense now that he has a quarterback. But Crowder could be right behind him.
The downside is that Crowder is the third best receiver on the team behind Jordan Reed and Pryor.
Well,
or fourth if Doxson's good.
Yeah, but for what, 8 games of the year that Reed plays?
You never know, I suppose. But still, that's a big chunk. I mean, that's a big chunk if he's the number three option. Yeah,
he could be. He could also be the best. I mean, just again, you know, take Reed out of the equation of the receivers. He has the best rapport with Kirk Cousins, and he's going to move everywhere. He's going to play outside. He's going to play inside. Pryor's very rarely going to play inside by comparison to Jameson Crowder. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have the opportunity. I mean, Crowder could easily be a 100-catch guy this season.
I want to go back to Golden Tate real quick. Those last 11 games that we've been talking about, 74 catches, 943 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He has never had more than 7 touchdowns in a season, so we'll see about that.
All 4 of those touchdowns, though, came after Week 6.
Right, this is the last 11 games.
And he finished the year with 1,077 yards. So those first games, he just looked like a completely different player.
2 years before, when Calvin Johnson was dealing with all those ankle injuries, that's when Golden Tate really had his best mm-hmm. numbers.
Yep.
So, you know, again, I think the Lions just really made a mistake not featuring him a little bit more in the beginning part of the year.
Yeah, the first 5 weeks of the season, Golden Tate combined for 14 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. He was just terrible. He got dropped. He got dropped in several, yeah. you know, a number of leagues, and then he really turned it on. Last thing about Golden Tate. He is basically the most elusive wide receiver in football over the last 3 years. He leads all wide receivers in missed tackles forced over the last 3 seasons. Enough about him. Those are the number 2 wide receivers with upside, Landry, Tate, and Crowder. Could you see yourself taking 4, like a running back, or 3 running backs, and a quarterback, or 2 running backs, a quarterback, and a tight end, and making Landry, Tate, or Crowder your number 1 wide receiver in a PPR league?
Not really, no.
I could.
You're
do
talking
it.
About what round?
5.
5. They won't be there.
Yeah, man. They won't be there in PPR.
Crowder might be there in 5.
Well, you know, if you're just looking at average draft position now, Tate is there in 5.
But are you taking a quarterback?
Crabtree's there in 5.
In the PPR.
In PPR, they're there in 5?
No, I'm sorry. No, not in PPR.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I could see taking Golden Tate in round 5 as my number 1 receiver in standard. I don't know if you're going to get the touchdowns. You get a lot of production there, but you're not going to get him as you're in the 5th round in PPR. Okay.
Well, here, I'll tell you. I'm looking at PPR right now. So, round 5. No, Tate goes at 48 right now.
48?
Crowder's at 60. Who was the other one? Landry?
Landry.
Yeah, Landry's gone. Landry's in round 3.
So you are
but
you okay?
Could, you could get away with if you're stretching it to Tate to round 5. And then Diggs is a 90-catch guy. I mean, that's somebody you can look at. Crowder, like we said. Mm-hmm. I think Snead's going to be in the 80 to 90-catch range. He's at 65 overall. Moncrief, 68. Garcon, 77. Fitzgerald's 55. Edelman's 53. There's a lot of guys. Tyreek Hill's 51. You can get away with it. Maybe not at the same caliber, but it's close.
All right. Number 3 wide receivers with upside. Tyreek Hill, Dante Moncrief, Julian Edelman, Martavis Bryant, Larry Fitzgerald, Pierre Garcon, and John Brown.
Outside of Tyreek Hill and John Brown and maybe Fitzgerald, Heath just threw up.
Yeah, I'm not a real big fan of this tier. Right. Not my. I like Martavis.
I'll read it again. Tyreek Hill, Dante Moncrief, Edelman, Martavis Bryant, Fitzgerald, Garcon, John Brown.
I like this tier. There are things to like about every single one of these receivers. You got Hill, who could end up leading the Chiefs in potentially total yards and touchdowns from scrimmage. He's got that type of potential. Should be able to at least match the number of touches he had last year. Moncrief seems to be a touchdown hog. Definitely a red zone threat for the Colts. Edelman is a catch machine. He's got his role carved out in New England. Martavis Bryant, huge, huge upside. Fitzgerald, same thing as Edelman. Got his role carved out in Arizona. Garcon's going to get a ton of targets in San Francisco. It's a team that's going to throw a lot. And John Brown seems to be making his way back from an injury plague 2016. And you're getting these guys round 6, round 7. I think this is good value. I don't mind. I know the name of the tier is the number 3 with upside tier. These guys are not horrible as number 2 options. They're best as a flex, number 3 receiver. But if you settle for one of these guys as your number 2 receiver, I think you'll be okay.
Heath, who do you not like in this group? Tyreek Hill, Moncrief, Edelman, Martavis, Larry Fitzgerald, Garcon, John Brown.
I've come around on Hill a little bit because of just the sheer target volume available. And this is, what, a high-end number 3? I think that's perfect for him. I you know how I feel about Dante Moncrief.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like this is his upside right here. But Edelman, I'm concerned about, especially in a standard league. Because we talked about Cooks not being able to get those targets, but I don't know. Edelman had 158 last year, and the huge leap came after Gronk got hurt. If Gronk and Cooks are both healthy, Edelman might be on the waiver wire.
I think maybe I missed you explaining it. I mean, I know just from our conversations, but explain your disdain for Moncrief.
He basically has been a tight end so far in his career. He is touchdown dependent, and that's good because he scored touchdowns at a very high rate. But his 16-game average for the first 3 years of his career is about 50 catches, about 550 yards, and six touchdowns. That's not because he was hurt and he missed part of the season. That's what his 16-game average is.
But that's taking into account games without luck?
That's his career. And I think what was like you could do
but
that.
But you have to take into account the games without luck, don't you?
You could take luck out, and you could take the games he missed out and just give him credit for an even smaller sample size. But I think what we saw with Michael Floyd last year, you start chopping up a player's career so much to where you're only showing his best performance. Well, yeah, he's going to look good.
But I don't know if I'm not saying Moncrief's best performances have come. Well, they certainly come with luck, but
right.
But I don't think it's. I think you have to sort of kind of gauge it because I mean even T.Y. Hilton's numbers, who you're fond of,
right,
were certainly great last year, and average the year before.
Well, like. Yes, you could say average the year before, but it also would have been the best year of Dante Moncrief's career.
Sure. He's also, I believe, if I have it correctly, I'll double check this. I don't think he's that much older than, I think it's Corey Davis.
He's 24.
He's
or he'll be 24 in 2 weeks.
Right.
So he's probably a year or two older than Davis. I don't want to act like I don't think there's any chance that Dante Moncrief turns into a good receiver. I just feel like he's being drafted as somebody that's already proven something. I don't really believe he has.
I get that.
Like I think there's upside for him to be a high end number three, low end number two receiver. But that's where we have to draft him.
Okay.
Right, but if you believe in somebody, don't you want to draft him in a spot that you want to make sure you get him?
But if the cost is what I think their best case scenario is, no.
Well,
like I think you're just ignoring the bust factor with him, and maybe he won't. This could technically, you could say, be his third year breakout because last year was ruined by injury.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, guys, there are always surprises, right? There are always top 10, top 12 surprises. Look at the top 10 or 12 from last year. It's got Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas, and Michael Crabtree in there, and he might be 13. But I'm asking from this group, Tyreek Hill, Dante Moncrief, Edelman, Martavis Bryant, Fitzgerald, Garcon, and John Brown, most likely to be a top 12 wide receiver.
In standard or PPR?
Let's do standard first.
Bryant.
Yep.
I love Bryant. I kind of look at him and Tyreek Hill the same way.
Okay.
It's hard. It's hard to imagine that a receiver finishes in the top 12 with Alex Smith as his quarterback.
I don't think it's ever happened.
It has
no, we're what? Did it. We're three seasons removed from them not scoring a touchdown from the position.
Is this three or two?
It was before Macklin got there. The year before Macklin got there.
2 years.
I would go Bryant, Brown, Hill as my three in order as the most likely, but I don't think any of them are all that likely.
How about PPR then? Most likely.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald always does.
Yeah. If he catches 100 passes, he'll probably be top 12.
Right.
You might not like it. You may not want to start him for half the year, but I'd say he's the most likely.
Would you rather read one more tier or emails? We're going to have a wide receiver preview in a few weeks. Let's read some emails for now. It's a good time for emails here. Get the diehards, get their questions answered. This is an accountant in Temperance, Michigan. He wants us to grade his draft. I just want you to give a letter grade on every pick. We'll see how many we get to here. Standard scoring 12 teams. He had the 12th pick in a 12-team league. Grade the draft. Jordy Nelson, round one.
B-.
Grade
that's
every
it?
Pick. What did you say?
We're grading every pick?
Yeah, real quick. Just that's all you have to do is give a grade, not an analysis.
Jordy Nelson, round one?
12th overall.
It's a B plus.
C.
Okay. Melvin Gordon, 13th overall.
A.
B.
B.
How about grade the turn? Grade the turn. Isaiah Crowell, Sammy Watkins, round 3 and 4.
B.
B. A minus.
Stephon Diggs, Ty Montgomery, standard scoring, rounds 5 and 6.
C minus.
D.
B plus.
Ooh. Because of Diggs?
I think I like Diggs and Montgomery both better than both of them.
I'm coming around on Montgomery.
Yeah, I'm still down on both. No, I should say it. I'm coming around on Diggs.
Ooh, wow. How about that? Okay, Jimmy Graham and DeSean Jackson in round 7 and 8 of a 12-team standard scoring league.
B plus.
A minus.
C.
I like Graham there.
He's getting Jimmy Graham in round 7.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham I like. DeSean's...
I mean, that's where you're going to get DeSean.
If you want him.
Jameis Winston and Derrick Henry, rounds 9 and 10.
A.
It's very difficult to grade Jameis Winston there because I don't know what other quarterbacks were there, but I'll say B minus.
And Tyrell Williams and Terrence West, rounds 11 and 12.
A.
Jaguars, DST, and Mason Crosby.
F.
B.
F.
Oh, here comes one of his best picks. Maybe his best. Jamal Williams, after his kicker in defense, Jamal Williams at the end of round 15, followed by Quincy Enunwa.
Quincy Enunwa is a great pick.
Oh, my God.
In the 16th round.
That's an A.
Jamal Williams, like you got Ty Montgomery's, I guess, handcuff in round 15.
Starter for the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. Good job.
Well, he's got the Packers all locked up. He definitely has the starter for the Packers.
And your number 3 wide receiver in round 16. Jones.
Jack C. Where is he from, birthday boy?
He is from Potomac, Maryland.
Oh, good call. What's the deal with the Baltimore backfield? Do you think Danny Woodhead could possibly be the number one running back by the end of the year in the Baltimore backfield?
I think he'll have the best numbers of any Ravens running back. He might not necessarily be the starter, but I think he's going to end up getting the most touches, the most yards, and the most touchdowns.
Yeah, Woodhead. I don't know if I agree on the touchdowns, but certainly the most fantasy points.
Alrighty. Joe from PGH. What the heck is that?
Pittsburgh.
Is it?
Yeah.
You sure
You've
it's
never
not like...
seen that abbreviation for Pittsburgh? Yeah.
I don't Definitely think I've ever is. Seen that for Pittsburgh.
What else could it possibly be?
An airport. Oh, it's the Pittsburgh airport code.
Okay.
Hey, Ghost, Tommy, Tasha, and Lakeisha. I don't know that. 12-team PPR league, keep 3. Am I crazy to keep Jarvis Landry over Tom Brady in a PPR league?
Not at all.
Nope.
I would imagine Landry would get picked ahead of Brady in certainly in our PPR leagues.
Yes.
I don't think it's crazy. I don't think you'd be crazy to keep Brady over Landry either.
Can you keep Landry for years and years? How much longer are you going to keep Tom Brady for?
Well, but if it's a 3-keeper league, I think Landry is always going to be kind of borderline as to whether he's one of your top 3 keepers.
Well... What the hell is Power? It's a TV show called Power. That's where that name, Tommy, Tasha, Keisha, and Ghost came from.
Put that on your watch list, Adam.
No, I have too much. I have to watch Leftovers. The season ended. I haven't watched one episode left. Or yet. Andrew from a city in West Florida.
Tampa.
Is that really West? I mean, I guess it is. Yeah,
it's
it is.
Like, I don't know how.
Well, the panhandle's more West. But yes, it is West
Well, maybe
Florida.
Clearwater is a better answer than Tampa.
Central Florida is Tampa, right?
No.
It's West. I think Orlando is Central.
Have you ever lived in Florida, Adam?
Tampa is in the center. I mean, okay, I'm wrong here. I'm just going to stop. Dear Eric, Edward, and Mark, I don't know them, so I don't want to be an idiot here. 12-team, 2 quarterback, half PPR league. Should I keep David Johnson in round 1? Melvin Gordon in round 7 or Marcus Mariota in round 8 in a 2 quarterback league? David Johnson round 1, Melvin Gordon round 7, or Mariota in round 8?
I'm going Johnson.
What'd you say?
I'm going Johnson. It's the 11th pick.
I may go Mariota. 6 points for passing touchdowns, did he say?
No, he didn't say.
If it's 6, I go Mariota. If it's 4, I'd go Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon and Mariota are incredible values given the format with it being 2 QB.
Okay, guys.
I don't know if I want to give up David Johnson, though, knowing that I have no chance to get him back. Maybe I have a chance to at least get Mariota back. It would probably take a round two pick and not a round eight pick.
Well, that's a pretty big difference. So, question for you.
Put me down for Johnson.
Comic book fans, Eric, Edward, and Mark, who are they? They are all first names of actors that played the same comic book character. Eric, Edward, and Mark.
Oh, the Hulk.
Booyah! And now we can read...
He forgot Lou.
Oh, you're right.
He's got Eric, Edward, and Mark, but no Lou. That's the original.
It's probably young.
Probably. Those West Floridians. This is John from a city chosen by Heath, which is Kansas City. I was offered a trade in my PPR Keeper League. I would give up Antonio Brown and Jay Ajayi. Brown and Ajayi. For Evans and Gordon. Evans and Melvin Gordon. Give up Brown and Ajayi for Evans and Gordon. Consider this. I can't keep Antonio Brown past this season, but I can keep Evans and Gordon for this year and next year.
It's a no-brainer because of that. Because you can keep those guys longer than Brown.
Okay, who wants to hear
Saved
by the
Brown
Bell?
On his contract year.
Perfect. Let's get some Saved by the Bell in here. And for Heath, Dave, and Jamie, I'm Adam. No show tomorrow. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. See you later.
Bye.